3.6 trillion euros, or about $3 trillion. That's how much the European Central Bank has spent buying bonds over the past 4 years. On Thursday, it said the spending spree was ending, mission accomplished.
$1 billion. That's how much Apple said on Thursday it's spending to build a new campus in Austin, Texas. And it's putting another $10 billion into new data centers. The move is part of the company's promise to invest $30 billion in the U.S. and create 20,000 jobs over the next 5 years.
Shares of Under Armour getting trampled Wednesday, the stock falling as much as 12% after a disappointing outlook at the company's investor day. The former Wall Street darling is warning international sales will only grow modestly next year, and sales in North America will likely be flat.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's December 14th, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. Lots going on this morning around the globe. We'll get to the markets momentarily a little bit later in the program today. Brian Summers will be here from Skift.com. We'll be talking about some aviation news, how artificial intelligence takes airline stories and makes them viral. Brian has been looking into that, so we'll have Brian at about 5:40 this morning. Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management. We'll bring in Paul to talk about the economy and our portfolios in just a few seconds. And, of course, we'll keep you posted on the latest news, weather, and sports through the hour as well. So let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street when the opening bell rings a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures are off more than 0.75% this morning, down 209 points. NASDAQ futures are off nearly 1%, 68 points, and S&P futures are off about 0.75% as well. Yesterday, after uncertainty over talks over China took its toll on Wall Street, stocks closed mixed after flipping between gains and losses as investors weighed the impact of the prolonged dispute on the global economy. Shares in GE surged more than 7% after J.P. Morgan upgraded the battered stock. This morning in Europe, markets are generally in the red, with the numbers in London off more than 0.75%, in Germany by more than 1%, and in France by nearly 1% this morning. And in Asia, a little bit of green on the screens this morning, with the Nikkei going to end the day up nearly 1%, 214 points. The Hang Seng is up about 1.33%, and the Shanghai is up about 1.5%. And oil is trading this morning at $52.33. a barrel. November retail sales figures lead off today's economic reports. Retail analysts will expect to see a tenth of a percent increase over October. We'll get those retail sales numbers at 7:30. That'll lead off our education, our economic reports this morning. The education department says it will cancel $150 million in student loan debt. The department said yesterday it'll forgive loans for about 15,000 borrowers whose schools closed, preventing them from finishing their programs. About half of those borrowers attended Corinthian Colleges, a for-profit chain that closed in 2015. Affected borrowers will begin receiving email notifications from the department today. Oil prices are generally down globally. Market analysts are expecting tighter supplies and rising prices in the coming weeks. International benchmark Brent crude is down 38 cents a barrel, $61.07. And as I mentioned, the other number we look at with oil this morning is down about 25 cents at $52.33. We bring in Paul Nolte front and center this morning from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager over at Kingsview, and he is with us every Friday morning here on the show. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Good morning.
I don't know, where do we begin this morning? There seems like we always have so much to talk about. Where would you like to start?
Up until today, this morning, we were actually looking at a positive week for the markets, and it's been an incredibly volatile week. We've seen 1.5% moves intraday, every day, And we're back down to the lows that we saw early this year in February and again in April. So investors, I think we're trying to search for a little bit of a bottom, and this bottoming process may take a little bit of time here. And it's going to be clouded with the holidays. Once we get through much of next week, traders are going to be gone for the rest of the year. So volumes will dry up, and we can still see some volatility, but it's going to be hard to discern any meaningful information from trading when you only have a few people out there and that are actually going to be trading the markets.
As we scour over things this morning, I think we'll probably hear the headline through the morning that investors are concerned about China, about economic growth there, and what that says about global economic growth.
Absolutely. They are the largest emerging market. They're second to the United States, and the economic data from China was very poor overnight, hence the reason that our markets are trading off. And the concern is that maybe some of the tariff talk is impacting China. They have been slowing for a while. And certainly that engine of spending, et cetera, importing goods and services is slowing down, and that can have a ripple effect to the rest of the global economy. If the global economy is slowing, it's going to be very hard for U.S. companies to see earnings growth, revenue growth. And if my earnings aren't growing, it's going to be hard for me to pay a higher multiple for those earnings, which means lower stock prices. And that's why we're seeing the sell-off this morning.
That's something that would be reflected in the next earnings season.
Right, right. And next earnings season, we should start to see a little bit more of the tariff impact. You know, we're starting to see a little bit in some of the companies that are more involved in the steel and aluminum tariffs that were imposed early this year. We saw some of those earnings and comments from a lot of those companies in the appliance industry, the auto manufacturers, et cetera. They were certainly impacted directly by a lot of those tariffs. So we'll see those impacts start to flow through the balance sheet and income statements as we get that data starting mid-January.
There is some positive news, though, and I know Orion mentioned this yesterday, and we've been able to confirm it since then. It looks like China has bought some American soybeans finally.
Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a little bit of an opening, and certainly, you know, we heard from Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary, yesterday. We've heard from other government officials. They would really like to see them do more. There is talk from China that, yep, we're gonna do a little bit more. Right now, it is talk soybeans, and they've reduced some of the tariffs on autos. So we're seeing a little bit of an opening here. And that is obviously some good news, but we'd like to see more. Certainly the government officials, the administration would really like to see it open up a lot more.
Paul, I mentioned at the top of the broadcast today we'll get retail sales numbers. Of course, we're in the middle of the holiday shopping season. How important will these numbers be? What should we look for?
We're looking for about a tenth of a percent increase, so a relatively small increase. We're going to be relatively focused on retail sales because, as we've talked about in the past, this is going to be a hard data number, different than a survey. How are you feeling? This is what are you doing? So we really want to see what consumers are up to and what they're spending, how much and where. And it'll be instructive to see that in the consumer. That'll be really for us more the consumer sentiment and how you're feeling about things in general, and it tends to show up in retail sales.
People spending money, that's the heart of the economy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And what we've seen really over the last three, four years now, retail sales have been going at about a 3.5 to 4% annual clip. There's been some bouncing around, but it's been pretty steady. What's interesting, though, is that it's not happening on credit cards. So when you're looking at revolving debt in general, revolving debt has actually been coming down over the last couple of years. So consumers, and again, different things that we've talked about in the past, is the consumer actually is relatively healthy at this point in the economic cycle. So jobs very good. They're saving a little bit more. Their debt levels are a little bit lower. Real estate prices have picked up a little bit. So again, the consumer balance sheet is actually in very good shape right now.
I wanted to get your thoughts on something I saw yesterday from an economic research firm in Lake Bluff, based in Lake Bluff, and I think you pronounce it Moebs, maybe, M-O-E-B-S, or Moebs Services. They analyzed about 12,000 depository call reports and money data from the Federal Reserve, and they found that people are hoarding money in their checking accounts. And this is a suggestion that when people start doing this, they have some underlying concern about the future.
That's true. I mean, you know, when we look around globally, when interest rates have come down, what savers do is they tend to save a lot more, even though you may not be earning a lot in your savings account or checking account. And certainly right now, you're not earning anything in your checking account. But it is a rainy day fund. Things are so good right now. You know, it's like the weather in Chicago. You know, we get a nice 50-degree day in December, and everybody's like, oh, we're going to pay for this later. And that's really what the consumer is looking at, that things may turn down here in the future, and I want to make sure I've got some cash readily available, even if I'm not earning anything on the cash. So what we do when we talk to clients about some of that is we say we can put it into a different investment vehicle that is safe but is earning it 1, 2, maybe even up to 3%, and put that aside and say, okay, if you want to have $20,000 in your rainy day fund, we can do that and get access to it within a couple days, but at least it's earning some money, it is still safe, and do it that way as opposed to having it in the checking account. But it's that immediacy of I can go to the bank, I can touch my money, as opposed to sending it to a brokerage account where it's often never land.
Right. And the danger of that, I mean, the danger, what are the risks of doing that as opposed to keeping it just by itself in the checking account?
Well, the only risk really is the investment. So, you know, if you're buying short-term treasury bills or you're buying a mutual fund that is investing in short-term treasuries or short-term municipal bonds, there is some fluctuation. So as interest rates change, those funds change a little bit as well. But because they're so short-term, the fluctuation is a penny here or a penny on the plus side, so it doesn't tend to move very much. But there is some risk to it as opposed to just sitting in cash.
Well, this research said that this is an historic, an all-time high, historic high for credit union checking account balances, especially, but across banks and thrifts and credit unions altogether. Checking balances increased 24 of the past 30 quarters.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, right now at least, they're starting to see, certainly in the credit union, you're just actually starting to get paid to leave money in the money market or in the savings account, where for the much of the last 10 years, you didn't get anything.
I know that a lot of folks are sitting on cash. Mm-hmm. Are you buying stuff with that cash or just sitting on it?
Well, we're sitting on a fair amount, but we've nibbled a little bit this last week. You know, one of the areas that we've talked about in the past is emerging markets, and we expect emerging markets to get hit a little bit here with the China news. But emerging markets really, since June, have been performing very well relative to the U.S. markets after coming down about 20% or so from early this year to June. And we do like emerging markets from the long-term perspective. The dollar has been strong. We don't think that will continue as other economies and other countries start to raise their interest rates. We also think, and when you look at valuations, emerging markets are extremely cheap. So we're looking at this probably for the next 3 to 5 years. So we're doing a little bit of nibbling. We've increased our exposure there slightly. But we're in no great rush to hurry up and use that cash. As we've seen this week with the markets moving 200, 300, 400 points in a day, both on the up and down side, we're not ready to, you know, take a big leap into the market. So we're just doing a little bit of nibbling, and we'll probably do that over the next 6 months or so. And use the cash over that period of time.
Well, Paul, I'm going on vacation for the rest of the year, and so I won't be seeing you before the holidays. So I just wanted to say just how thankful we are for having you come in, for you coming in every Friday and spending time with us and throughout the year helping us be a little smarter when it comes to our money. So we appreciate that.
I thank you very much, and have a great Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family as well.
Thank you.
And how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you?
They can always drop me an email. I'll be around much of the holiday season, but they can drop me an email at pnolte@kingsviewam.com.
And that's Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of the Opening Bell. Lots of aviation news this week. Some international flights capacity being added by United Airlines. And the role of artificial intelligence in making airline stories go viral. We'll talk about a few of those this morning with Brian Summers, who's the aviation business editor at skift.com. And Brian is with us this morning via Skype from the Skift headquarters in New York City. Brian, good morning. Let's start first with United Airlines, the hometown airlines, adding lots of capacity, international capacity out of San Francisco. Why is this a big story?
Right, Steve. United is the hometown airline, and there were some people in Chicago that noticed. The airline announced some big growth this week internationally. It's not in Chicago. It comes in this airport hub they call their crown jewel in San Francisco. It's just such a great hub for United. There's a lot of money on the West Coast, especially in Northern California. United has a lot of big corporate customers there, and so they're expanding. It was a big announcement. They're going to do San Francisco to New Delhi, which is a new route for them, although they fly that from Newark. They're going to go to Melbourne, Australia. They're also going to go to Toronto and then bulk up some other routes. So they're going to do a second daily to Seoul, Korea. You know, this is big news for United. United has said that it didn't expand enough under previous management, and it wants to sort of win back this share that it lost over the years. They're definitely fighting.
And it comes at a time, too, when the economy is doing well. I know United, we talked last week about how well things at United specifically have been going, but this seems like further proof that they're on the right track.
It does seem like proof that things are going well. You know, I don't want to be a downer here, and I hope things work well for United, and I think they will. But people may remember in about 2000, 2001, United also had a pretty remarkable route network across the globe. We all know what happened in September of 2001, and it took the industry so long to recover. There was also a recession about that time, and a lot of routes that were launched in the early 2000s, they just never worked, and they went away. So hopefully these routes are more sustainable. I know the United folks would tell you that a lot of these new routes are on the Boeing 787, and it really is an impressive aircraft, not only for customers, but also for the airline. So it's a very fuel efficient, and it makes a lot of routes much more financially viable than they were back 15, 18 years ago, where if United wanted to run these routes, it would be on a Boeing 747. Cool airplane, four engines, burns a lot of fuel, just antiquated technology. And of course, it was last year that United retired those aircraft.
Do you suspect that United might be getting ready to make other announcements like this at other airports, at other hubs? What is your sense?
It's a good question, Steve. United had a conference call earlier this week where they teased out they might expand more from Chicago. Chicago is a very important hub to United. They have added some flights there. But people in my industry, we don't get excited about a new flight to Champaign or Rochester, Minnesota, right? We want to fly 6,700, 7,000, 8,000 miles. We want to fly from, you know, Chicago to New Zealand or something like that. And United did say on the call, you know, stay with us. We will probably expand in Chicago, maybe as soon as the next time they have a big announcement.
Looking back on this week, another big piece of airline news was involving Delta Airlines banning emotional support and service animals, puppies, and long flight hours, more than 8 hours. What did Delta do this week?
Yeah, you know, Delta came out with some new rules for emotional support animals and then service animals as well. One of the things they said is they're really not going to take, you know, puppies or young animals. So they're not going to take any animals fewer than 4 months old. And they're also, as you said, not going to accept support animals on flights longer than 8 hours. And I think people can sort of figure out why this was necessary. If you're going to have a service animal on an airplane, I know a lot of people need them, but you know, anything over 8 hours, I mean, these are animals. There isn't a place for the animals to relieve themselves. And I think Delta had found it was just having too much trouble. They said that they had a 84% increase in what they called incidents over a 2-year period ending in 2017. And, it was just not sustainable for them. And I imagine that other airlines will follow as well. There might be people listening here who have genuine needs for service animals, and this may not be the best news for them. And I don't know what's going to happen to them going forward. But anybody who's been on an airplane in the last 3 or 4 years has probably noticed that some of these support animals may not be necessary for people. People may be trying to bring their pets on the airplane, and they get a doctor's note supporting it.
Yeah. One of the incidents, I know it was a highly publicized one where it was a 70-pound dog bit somebody on the plane. Those are big incidents.
Those are big incidents, and airline employees have been complaining to me privately about these incidents for years. They just haven't known what to do about it so far because, you know, this country does have laws, as I said. I mean, people, there are some people that genuinely need these animals, and I know that airlines knew they can't keep those people from having their animals on board.
Another really cool story from this week is one that you wrote about how airline stories go viral and the involvement of artificial intelligence in that.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. So I profiled this company called Dataminr this week. And Dataminr does a lot of things for a lot of different types of companies and even governments. But what I noted is that Dataminr uses artificial intelligence basically to mine Twitter for airline news. So there could be somebody with 12 followers who tweets out something, you know, smoke at the cockpit on my flight, we're going to make an emergency landing. And basically, as soon as that tweet goes out, Dataminr finds it and flags it for reporters. So a lot of things that may never have become news in the past end up getting flagged by Dataminr, and then they end up on your local Fox or CBS station as the lead story, maybe even WGN radio. There are a lot of minor things that Dataminr picks up, and then reporters turn them into big news, and I think airlines don't like that as much. But Dataminr can also pick up very big news. So I highlighted this catastrophic engine failure in Chicago that American Airlines had a little bit more than 2 years ago. You know, this is something, of course, everybody would have found out about it eventually. I mean, the airplane was on the runway at O'Hare and it was on fire. But reporters found out about it literally like immediately, right? Because somebody takes out their phone, takes a picture of smoke at O'Hare. 1 second later, Dataminr picks it up, and then reporters have access. So there's just like no lag time anymore, and there's no secrets. And this is all because of artificial intelligence. It's pretty cool, maybe a little creepy, but I think mostly cool.
Yeah, we use Dataminr here in our newsroom for a variety of different areas, including aviation. So I guess this is just keeping the social media and PR teams at these airlines on their toes.
It is. And it's interesting that you say, Steve, that WGN Radio uses Dataminr, right? Because as Dataminr and other folks told me, newsrooms are using Dataminr for all types of stories. But there's just something about aviation that makes it pick up more stories. So a CBS News correspondent told me, you know, the reason that we use Dataminr so much for airline stories and not for other stories is because an airplane is the only place where two people could have some sort of fight and it would become national news, right? I mean, if somebody is going down Michigan Avenue and they get in a fight with a stranger, it's not going to become big news. But it happens, you know, in row 12 on a United Airlines airplane, and all of a sudden it's in the Daily Mail in the UK. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Then there's the story about travel for the holidays. We have another one coming up. Christmas is on the way. The airlines expecting another big increase in travel during Christmas and New Year's.
The airlines are expecting a big increase in travel, Steve, but I actually knew you were going to ask me this question, and so I did some preparation. So the trade group representing U.S. airlines has said that about 2.5 million people per day are going to travel during Christmas week. So that's a lot. It's probably more than an average day. But I can tell you that the big travel season in the United States, it's not Christmas. It's summer, and it's the whole summer. It's June, July, and August. And that's when, according to the Trade Association, 2.7 million passengers per day fly. So even if you fly, you know, during Christmas week, it's probably not going to be as bad as, say, a Friday in July and lots of people want to fly.
I like what you did there. Catching this story, I mean, this is, again, one of those things that I think the news media gets onto and we kind of blow these holiday type travel stories up more than they should be.
Yeah, I mean, for pretty much every airline, holidays are good. The summer is just the best time of the year. That's when the flights are most full. That's often when fares are highest. So if you traveled over the summer and you were able to handle it, I promise you that you're going to be able to handle flying over the Christmas season.
Brian, this is the last time we're going to get to talk to you this year. I just want to tell you that we're very happy and thankful that we've had you on this year, bringing us all kinds of expertise in the aviation industry. And we look forward to having more conversations with you in the new year.
Thank you, Steve. I love doing this, and I will see you again next year.
Brian Summers is the aviation business editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow on Twitter at Skift and follow Brian as well at Brian Summers. And also sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures are off nearly 213 points. Let's check in on agriculture and commodities this morning. Orion Samuelson is with us. Orion, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. And, you know, when China would start buying soybeans again, everything would be just fine. So they bought some cargoes of soybeans this week, and what happened to the soybean market? Down 12¾ cents a bushel yesterday on the January and March contracts. So I guess we've got a little more work to do, but we are continuing to get signs that the trade war between China and the U.S. at least beginning to diminish, because China will suspend additional tariffs on U.S.-made vehicles and auto parts for 3 months starting January 1st, and China will suspend 25% tariffs on 144 U.S. vehicle and auto part items and 5% tariffs on 67 auto items between January 1 and March 31. So we can hope that the trade war is beginning to ratchet down, but even when it does, we don't get a big hike in prices. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that one. And of course, as we approach the holiday season, trading does slow down because a lot of traders are gone. And that can sometimes mean that you get exaggerated moves up or down in the marketplace. So,
Orion, this week the Farm Bill finally done. It's nice to put a bow on that for the end of the year, isn't it?
It was a busy week last week. We had more things going on with the China resuming purchases and the Farm Bill coming to fruition, and also the rewrite on NAFTA pretty well done. Busy time, but yes, as a matter of fact, I'll be going to Washington on Monday to sit down for the year-end interview that we have done now for about 40 years with the current Secretary of Agriculture. And so I'm looking forward to that visit on Monday with the Secretary. And, yeah, good news, I think, that we get the Farm Bill in place. Disappointment on the part of the Trump administration, and something I can't understand is that we didn't put in more rules on the ability to get nutrition programs and the SNAP program and all that. They tried to get some new rules on that, but didn't make it in the Farm Bill. So, but everything else did. Crop insurance, which was a big concern, whether or not that would be able to continue, and it will.
All right. Orion, have a great weekend. Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year as well.
Well, you too.
All right. Thank you. Orion Samuelson with us. Make sure you listen to the morning show tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, December 14th. November retail sales figures lead off today's economic reports. Retail analysts see a 0.1% increase over October. Industrial production for November is out today as well. The experts forecast a gain of 0.3%. Business inventories for October also out today. The outlook is for a strong 0.6% increase over September. The business inventories report, one of the three big economic reports coming today. It's also free shipping day. More than 1,000 retailers should take part in the shopping holiday by offering free shipping on items as well as various discounts. The day serves as a last chance to buy big gifts and holiday items this year after Black Friday and Cyber Monday. FreeShippingDay.com has listed several participating merchants as the deals and the deals that they might be offering today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, December 14th.